Good day, and welcome to the Big East Men's Basketball Coaches Media Teleconference. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to John Paquette. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on our final men's basketball teleconference of the season. We'll have each coach on for about 8 minutes, like we usually do. And then after an opening statement, you'll be able to ask questions. To ask questions, hit star one on your telephone. With travel and spring break and those kinds of things, we had to make some adjustments on the back end of our schedule. Steve Wojciechowski from Marquette will be unable to join. We're sliding Travis Steele of Xavier up into his spot and then moving Jay Wright up to 12:04 Eastern time. First up, we have Coach Greg McDermott of Creighton. Creighton is the fifth seed in the Big East tournament. They will play in the quarterfinals, second game Thursday afternoon against Xavier, number four seed Xavier. And we've announced over the last day or two that Tyshawn Alexander and Martin Krample were named honorable mention, Big East honorable mention, and Marcus Zagorowski was all-freshman team unanimous pick. Greg, thanks for joining us. If you want to give us a comment on your award winners, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, obviously really pleased with the year that Tyshawn and Martin have had, and obviously I think they're very worthy of their being named honorable mention all conference. I was a little surprised maybe Martin wasn't on one of the first two teams, averaging almost 17 points and 8 rebounds a game in this league, shooting 60% from the field and doing the things that he does for us defensively, I think speaks volumes, and especially when you consider what he's overcome to get to this spot with 3 ACL injuries and then the subsequent recoveries that go with that. And Tyshawn Alexander's been great for us all season. Obviously, we rely on him to score the basketball, and his improvement from last year to this year has been incredible. And then Marcus has been a rock for us. When he's not on the floor, we lost the 3 games in a row, and I don't think it's a coincidence that we played so well since he's been back. So, besides what his numbers show, his leadership and his voice in the locker room has been very, very impressive for a young player.
And Greg, would you like to comment on the matchup upcoming with Xavier?
Yeah, we played Xavier 4 or 5 games ago and lost a close game in Cincinnati, and Travis has done a terrific job, after a tough start to get them back in the position that they are now, where they tied for third place with several other teams, and one of us, us being one of those. So Marshall's playing at a high level, and their front line is really difficult to deal with, so. It's going to be a challenge for us, but something we're excited about. We're going to have to figure out a way to deal with Jones and Hankins on the interior. Obviously, they have a huge size advantage over us, and we have to try to maybe expose some of that on the other end of the floor and try to pull those guys away from the basket.
Okay, questions for Coach Greg McDermott. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you. Star one for questions, please.
And we have a question from John Steph from Marquette Wires.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking the time. You're one of the four teams to lose to Marquette first time around, then beat them. What's different about them now than what you saw when they were in Omaha?
I don't know that there's a lot different. They've lost some close games, and when we played them the first time, they won a close game. So sometimes it's as much as the bounce of the ball and you need a little good fortune, and they haven't shot it quite as well as they were early in the conference season, but shooting kind of goes, it comes and goes in college basketball. We've been through it, and I think every team's been through it throughout the course of the year, so that's still a very, very good Marquette team, and I'm sure a team that nobody wants to see in the Big East tournament or in the NCAA tournament.
Thank you.
We have any other I see a question pop up right now. Go ahead.
And we will take our next question from Tom Canavan from Associated Press.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
You're doing good.
Can you talk about your own team? I think you've probably got the longest winning streak in the conference right now. I mean, are you do you think what's come around, and are you thinking NCAA if you can get a couple of more wins?
Well, you know, I think as you look at our resume compared to some of the other teams in the bubble, obviously it's very good. So if it depends how the selection committee is going to view the schedule that you choose to play in the non-conference portion of the season. You know, those games are up to us, and we played a very challenging schedule. And because of that, we don't have as many wins maybe as a few of the other teams on the bubble, but we chose to challenge ourselves. So we'll see if that will be rewarded at the end of the day. You know, we've, now that we're healthy, you know, we lost a starter in our third conference game against Marquette. He left right after halftime and did not return and missed over a month, and Damian Jefferson, and then we lost Marcus Zagorowski for the three-game road trip at Villanova, at Seton Hall, at Xavier, two games of which we lost in overtime, one we lost in the last minute at Seton Hall. So, you know, we were 3-7 when we didn't have one or either both of those guys or one of those guys out of the lineup. And you know, we've been whatever that's left, 15-5 or 15-6 when we've had our entire lineup. So, you know, we're playing better. We had some near misses on the road during that four-game losing streak in the middle of the conference season, as I mentioned, and we've played good these last five, and defensively we've improved. So hopefully that's something that needs to travel with us to New York City. I think if you're going to win three games in 3 days in the Garden, you're going to have to bring your defense with you. So, you know, I think our guys understand that. They're excited to play, and obviously we've got a great opponent in Xavier in the first round.
Thank you.
Anything else for Coach McDermott? Greg, we appreciate the time. We will see you at the Garden.
See you in a couple days. Thanks.
Thanks. And off that last question, Creighton does have the longest winning streak right now. They've won 5 in a row. They're 18-13 overall, 9-9 in the Big East. Next up, we have Providence and Coach Ed Cooley. The Friars are going to be the 8th seed. They play Butler. That's the first game of the tournament on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And on the all-league teams, we had Alpha Diallo make the second team. And Coach Ed Cooley's on the line. Ed, thanks for joining us. If you can give us maybe a comment on Alpha making the second team, and then your thoughts on facing Butler, who you just played a few days ago.
Well, you know, I'm really happy for Alpha. I think he's been our rock. He's been a cornerstone for us. You know, he's a multifaceted player, multi-positional player. His ability to rebound is really unique. He improved his shooting. So we're really appreciative of the coaches that noticed his abilities. Playing Butler again for the third time. You know, we were fortunate at home senior night, a lot of energy, a lot of emotion. We made a lot of shots. But, you know, playing in a neutral site, playing at the Garden, we're excited, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Questions for Coach Ed Cooley. Hit star 1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you. Star 1, please.
And we will take our first question from David Woods with Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, Coach. Sean McDermott can be a real weapon for Butler, and you've done a really good job on him. What have you done to kind of to neutralize his effectiveness, and what have you seen of McDermott maybe in other games?
Well, I mean, he's a weapon for them. You know, his ability to really stretch the floor from deep. You know, in the scouting report, I mean, he's on the scouting report, so it's high alert on all those shooters. So our players have done a good job recognizing that. You can't be lazy when you're in his area. You have to close out with a sense of purpose. So it's a credit to the guys paying attention to detail and paying attention to scouting. But he, along with a couple other guys on the team, could really beat you from downtown. So we have to make sure we're dialed in and, you know, not allow those threes to get up.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And we will take our next question from Ed Barkowitz from Philly.com.
Hey, Ed, how are you, sir?
Amazing this morning, absolutely amazing.
That's what I like to hear, okay. At the risk of getting ahead of ourselves here, I know you have Butler, but I'm trying to get a sense on Villanova. What, Ed, is the challenge of coaching against K-State, against the team, you know, particularly in March? You know, they've been so successful lately. What is it that you see when you're looking at them?
You know, I haven't watched them closely really since the last time we played them, because we played them so early in the year. But anytime you go against a Jays team, you got to go against their toughness, their discipline. Again, another great three-point shooting team. I think they're one of the more physical teams in the country defensively, and they play physical offensively. This, to me, is one of Jay's best years he's had. He, along with Kevin Willard, losing all those seniors that won so many games for them. Well, not just seniors, but Jay losing all those juniors, I should say. It's just always a tough matchup with them on their physicality and their ability to shoot the ball. You know, they'll be a tough out for whoever's going to face them in the Big East tournament and in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, good point. Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate you.
And next we will hear from Kevin McNamara from Providence Journal.
Ed, I'm curious how you approach this Big East tournament versus the last, you know, five, where you probably knew that you were going to the NCAAs or really close, where now you probably have to win the Big East tournament to get in. How do you approach that with your players?
Well, I think you have to be very transparent with your group. You got to tell them exactly what you just said. You know, in order for us to, you know, to dance, you know, you probably have to win the tournament. You got to win 4 games in 4 days. It's doable. It'll be a monumental task. You kind of look at it as, you know, this is our only ticket into the tournament. And in order to do that, you got to get lucky. You got to be disciplined. You got to be connected. But I've talked to the team about that yesterday, and we'll talk to them again today, tomorrow, and then Wednesday before the game. But you got to take one game at a time, and Butler is going to be a really, really hard game for us. So transparency is everything.
Do you see the Big East tournament this year as something where a Providence, someone else who plays, who's not the one or two seeds, can win?
Absolutely. It is just wide open. You know, all the teams in the league, I think, and you know, I could be wrong on this, but I think all of us have experienced 3-game losing streaks. You know, maybe one or two teams hasn't, but a couple of us, more than a couple of us have. So, you know, that definitely gives you hope. I think this will be one of the more exciting Big East tournaments in a while because of the parity, because of the balance. So, you know, looking forward to a bunch of fans down there ready for a great week of basketball.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next, a question from Tom Canavan with Associated Press.
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing.
Just a quick question. Did the parity that you just spoke about hurt the league this year, or may it hurt the league because of, you know, only a number of teams got ranked and there aren't a lot of 20-win teams?
I don't think it hurts. I mean, it's a hell of a league, you know. I mean, you know, we're beating up on each other, but when you look at the resumes of a Creighton, of a Seton Hall, and the great wins, and their non-conference schedules, who they competed against, you know, St. John's has some great wins. I know they've struggled as of late, but, you know, the committee is going to look at the whole body of work. You know, they're not going to look at the last 10, the first 10. They're going to look at who you played, where you played them, and what was the outcome. You know, that is, you know, that's how teams are selected. Whether it's early or late, if you have a body of work that shows you're worthy of it, and when you look around the country, there's a lot of teams with a lot of losses that are going to be in position to get to the tournament. You know, so we're all going to New York fighting and battling. But no, I mean, our league is very young, very, very young. And, you know, it'll be good moving forward because a lot of the players in the league will be returning next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question from John Steph with Marquette Wires.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Amazing.
That's good to hear. You performed pretty well in the Big East tournament, probably better than what you'd expect out of a number five seed. What's the key to winning 3 games in 3 days like this?
Ooh, you got to get lucky. And sometimes it's a game of matchups, how you match up with the other opponent. You got to stay healthy. You need to score when you need it, when you have a need basket. You know, your seniors got to lead you. The young guys got to follow. It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. So, the teams that are connected, that play with emotion and energy and a little joy, the team that's going to hoist that trophy up come Saturday night.
Thank you.
Ed, we appreciate the time as always. We will see you at MSG in a couple days.
Yep, thank you. See you in New York. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Coach Cooley was referring to every team having a three-game losing streak, and I checked quickly on the results, and the way I see it, only Georgetown has not lost three in a row this year. So looking down quickly, I see every team with a three-game losing streak except Georgetown. Georgetown lost a couple in a row, numerous times, but not three in a row. Next up we have Coach Dave Leto, and he is wrapping up practice, and we are hopefully be able to get to him in a second or two. For our tournament, as per usual, at the Garden on Wednesday at 4:30 Eastern, we will announce our Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and our scholar-athlete winner as well. And that will be from the theater lobby at the Garden, and that's the usual spot where we do that if you're in the building on the first day. And we're waiting momentarily for Coach Dave Leto of DePaul. And we have Coach
He's
on,
here.
I believe. Yep.
Yes.
Dave, thanks for joining us. DePaul, the 10 seed playing St. John's on Wednesday. That's the second game on Wednesday. And earlier today we announced that Paul Reed is the Big East Most Improved Player. And yesterday, Max Struess was named to the second team. So, David, if you'd like to comment on Paul and Max's accomplishments this year, and then we'll open up for questions.
Well, yes, thank you. With both players, obviously, I think it's a culmination of what, you know, a team or a five guys or whatever can do. And then, obviously, with regard to Max, you know, we felt all year long that he's one of the better players in this league. And, you know, both in his good days and his not-so-good days, we know that he gets the lion's share of the attention from a scouting standpoint by our opponent night in and night out, and was able to persevere and play really well for us, particularly as the season was coming to a close and you know, had some really good offensive nights. But his contribution is much more than scoring, and so, you know, he's got great value, and I think being recognized shows his value not only to our team but within the Big East Conference. And with Paul, it's a really good story that's unfolding, a guy that came pretty much unheralded here to DePaul and went through a freshman year where he's trying to learn and get better, but showed some natural ability, and when given the opportunity this year, has risen to the occasion. And he's a guy that has you know, been able to get great statistics with performance without always being the focal point of our offense or another team's scouting report. So his ability to score in different ways, in around the basket or from the perimeter, and finish in on fast breaks, and especially from a rebounding standpoint, has been very valuable for us.
Questions for Coach Dave Leto. Hit star one on your telephone, please. Star one on the telephone, please. We'll give you another try here. Any questions for Coach Dave Leto of DePaul? Here we go.
And we have a question from Herbert Delancey with Black Sports Magazine.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good.
I just had a quick question. Being that you all have built the new arena out there at DePaul, how instrumental has that been? Has it contributing to the general rise of the program?
Well, it's done a lot for us. I've mentioned this throughout the 2 years that we've been in it, that it's given us a place within the confines of Chicago to have our fans be closer to us and more intimate. It's the way it's constructed and the beauty of it, aesthetically has given, you know, people something to really talk about. It's helped, you know, for our program and in terms of fans and understanding what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it. It's helped tremendously in recruiting more than anything. And that, you know, we've seen a rise in the amount of people that we've been able to, and the quality of people we've been able to attract, into the building and ultimately say yes to come to DePaul. So, that and many other factors has made it a tremendous addition to, what has already been a storied program.
Okay. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome.
And our next question will come from Tom Davis with 10 Sports.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for your time today. I'm curious, this has been the best Big East season in terms of victories for your program under your second time there. And you guys are so much more competitive game in and game out today than you were 3, 4, or 5 years ago as a program. How much has that impacted the morale from a positive standpoint? Just all the work that you've put in since you came back there is now starting to be tangible and you can see it on the floor.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a bit of a process to kind of change. So many things that go into changing the fortunes of your program that we've had to undertake. And, you know, we just talked about the new arena being a big part of it. And just, you know, the whole overall, I think the buzzword is culture and what we've tried to do. And finally, that you start to have some results on the floor is encouraging. I think the people around here, both within our university and then our community in general, recognize that and see that. And there's a lot more excitement and buzz about what we're trying to do, especially, you know, as we get through this particular season and what the competition level was top to bottom in the Big East Conference this year. And then futuristically, and I think that it's helped in a lot of different ways, recognized both locally and nationally from a recruiting standpoint. There's more conversation about, you know, where we're going and what we're doing. And I think, you know, it's only going to get better. And so, you know, this is not an easy league to try to climb the ladder on. And, we're trying to do our part every day to make sure that we give ourselves the best opportunity as all the other 9 teams are to continue to have their success. And, as we get better, it's our hope that, sooner rather than later that we'll be competing for championships, which is what everybody aspires to do.
How valuable has the city of Chicago been as a selling tool in terms of recruiting? Can you recruit nationally by selling the league and the city of Chicago?
Yeah, I think the Big East sells itself, and so to be able to say you have an opportunity to play within this league is tremendous. This city, you know, one of the kingpins of this country in terms of what it can offer, both experience as a college student and beyond, especially in what it can do for your lifetime. And there's always some level of connection that people may have with the city, whether it's relatives or friends or anything that is attractive. So that's been a very good positive thing for us.
All right. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Okay.
And our next question will be with Tom Canavan with Associated Press.
Hey, Dave. You would think that playing St. John's in the Garden would be a hometown advantage for them, but you tell your team, hey, we beat them earlier, it's, you know, no great deal?
Well, I think I've tried to look, you know, beyond both of those things, right, honestly, and talk about the specifics of what a matchup could mean negatively or positively. I think we have to be ready to defend, you know, who they have been and what's made them really, really good. Obviously, when you're playing in Madison Square Garden, you can't overlook the fact that they'll have a lot of fans there. And so it would feel a little bit like a home game, and it's played there enough already. But at the same point in time, it's going to come down to what goes on between the lines and understanding, you know, the adjustments that have to be made. I'm sure they're looking at it, you know, a little bit differently, and that both of those games were close enough that they felt like they could have or should have won. And so their adjustments will be according to that, as ours will be, in understanding that, you know, we could do some things better and differently as well. And I think that's the main focus, I'm sure, for from Chris's standpoint as well as mine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dave, we have to move on. We appreciate it. We'll see you at the garden in a couple of days.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's DePaul playing St. John's. That's the second game on Wednesday evening of the first round. And next up we have Coach LaVal Jordan of Butler. And earlier today we announced that Paul Jorgensen was the winner of the Big East Six-Man Award and Nate Fowler was the Big East Sportsmanship Award winner. Yesterday, Kamar Baldwin was named to the All-Big East second team. LaVal, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to give a comment on your award winners first, and then we'll take questions.
Yeah, thanks. Definitely, I'm obviously proud of our guys with Kamar being named second team and our two seniors both being recognized as well. You know, those guys have given a ton to Butler basketball and invested. So just, you know, shows you just what hard work does. You know, Paulie's worked hard, and Nate's a great citizen to get the Sportsmanship Award, and they have big roles on our team. And so just proud of them and looking to finish strong here down the stretch for all of those guys.
And I failed to announce that Butler is playing Providence. Butler, the number 9 seed, playing Providence, the number 8 seed, to kick off the tournament. We'll go to questions. Hit star 1 on your telephone, please.
And our first question will come from Tom Davis with 10 Sports.
Morning, Coach.
How are we doing, Tom?
Hanging in there. Hey, defensively, if you look at the Big East statistics, your team has struggled this year. Why schematically has that happened, or has it been different things in different games that have been problematic for you?
I think the second part of it is, you know, it's different things in different games that have caused us, you know, issues, and matchups change as you're playing different opponents, and part of that is that's part of it, and then part of it is just a toughness that you have to have consistently, and obviously, you know, throughout the course of the year, consistency has been an issue for us, regardless of what the matchups are. So there's a couple things that play into it. I think we've had moments where we've been extremely solid and showed well. And then we've had others where, you know, we've had a half of a game, and then we've had breakdowns that you can't have to win consistently. And so, some things, what do we address here heading to tomorrow or Wednesday's game? It's just Providence. You know, what's it going to take to beat them, and where are the areas we need to address there? That's what we've got to focus on these next 2 days.
All right, and speaking of Providence, obviously last weekend's game didn't go well for you guys. How do you put that game behind you mentally and refocus on, hey, this is a totally different game, let's just move on?
Yeah, I think it's just it's postseason play now. You have a couple different seasons when you're on the journey of a full year where, you know, the non-conference, the regular season, and now the postseason. And so, our guys have a reference point. Last year we played Seton Hall in the last game of the year, regular season, and then opened up with them in the Big East tournament. So that's the focus now, is just, you know, looking at the two Providence matchups, kind of what went right, what's gone wrong. Looking to see if there's some subtle adjustments. You can't change everything you're doing in 2 days. And so, you know, guys just have to believe in what the game plan is going to be. They got to believe in each other and play with some confidence. But we got to have some clarity, you know, on what we're, if there's an adjustment or two to make going into the Wednesday.
All right. Thanks for your time, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
And our next question from David Woods of Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, LaVal. I was wondering what on Shaug McDermott. I mean, obviously he's such a weapon for you guys, and Providence has really held him down the last two times you've met. But then more broadly, I guess what improvement Sean has made this year, because, you know, this would be a senior year if he hadn't redshirted, but fortunately you get him back for another year.
Yeah, no, Shawnee's put in, he's one of our hardest workers, and I think that's shown with his improvement, this season and what he's been able to accomplish and how productive he's been. Obviously, he's a focal point for our other teams, and Providence in particular does a good job of taking away the three-point line. You know, that's something that you can tell that they stress, and especially when they're playing against us. And so, and it puts a lot of pressure on when you do get one clean look or two clean looks. You know, there's pressure to knock them down because you're not going to get that many, especially in Sean's case. And so, he started to add a little bit more to his game where he's driven the ball, the past few games when his threes not been falling, or there's been heavy attention on him. He's been able to get to the basket here and there to start to diversify his game some. And so his teammates are always looking for him. We know what Shawnee's strength is. He can shoot the basketball. We're trying to get him in positions to do that. And then he battles like crazy on the other end. So, he's a big part of what we're doing, and we need him here in New York.
Thank you.
Anything else for Coach LaValle Jordan? LaValle, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a couple days at the Garden.
All right, John. See you soon.
Thank you. And again, Butler, the number 9 seed, will play Providence, the number 8 seed. Next up, we have St. John's and Coach Chris Mullen. And yesterday we announced that Shamori Pons was an All-Big East first team member. And then this morning we announced that Justin Simon is Big East Defensive Player of the Year. And Chris, thanks for joining us on the call. If you want to offer us a comment on Shamori and Justin, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, very happy for Shamori. He's been very consistent. I think after 3 years, probably the best player ever at St. John's statistically, and he's just been a really, really incredible performer. So I'm very happy and proud of him. And then Justin Simon, really, really happy for him as well. Transferring in and taking that red shirt, he really worked hard this game, and has just really continued to evolve as a player in all facets of his game. And his versatility has really, really helped us so much in our success. So just really happy and proud of both of those guys.
Questions for Coach Chris Mullen. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you. *1 for questions, please.
And our first question will be from John Stepp from Marquette Wires.
Hey, Coach. How are you?
Good morning.
So you first have DePaul, obviously, but after that, Marquette. How helpful is it to have a more athletic team that's had more success against Marquette Tower than most? And does it help that you're playing them while they're on a 4-game losing streak?
Yeah, we're totally focused on DePaul. They're a handful for us. They've beat us twice. So our sole focus is on starting a brand new season and preparing for DePaul.
Okay, thank you.
And next, we will hear from Roger Rubin with Newsday.
Hey there, Chris.
Roger, how you doing?
Good. Chris, in your mind, how would you describe the difference in the way that you see this team's season arc 2 weeks ago versus today?
My mind doesn't go that far back, thank God. And, we practiced today. One, our sole focus is having a brand new start. We've had a good season, whether it be arc, trend, consistent, that's all in the past. And we're really, really just going to come with new energy, brand new season. Everyone's starting from 0-0, and that's a refreshing feeling and bringing renewed energy and get ready for DePaul.
And, Chris, you said DePaul has been a handful, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a new way to approach them here that you can sort of change the way that the game ends up going?
Yeah, probably nothing I would put out publicly. I think, we've had some success within those games, two very different games. The last one, two different halves, quite frankly. So, yeah, we know what we have to do. We've proven to ourselves. The style of play we need to be successful, and making sure we make that happen is our sole focus.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Anything else for Coach Chris Mullen?
And we will take another question from Adam Zagoria with Sportsnet New York.
Hi, Chris. Good to talk to you today.
Hey, Adam. How are you doing?
Good. Do you guys believe you're in the NCAA tournament at this point, or do you think you have work to do this week? I mean, obviously you want to win the games, but.
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of work to do. That's never really, you know, the big picture goals are nice to have, but we always focus on what we need to do to succeed. So that's today's practice session, and I think probably more important, really, to start new. You know, everyone's got a nice, clean slate, and mentally and physically having that renewed energy is probably more important than anything else outside of that.
Okay, thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
Chris, we appreciate the time. We'll see you at the Garden in a couple days. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And that's St. John's. Hang on just a second, please. St. John's, the number 7 seed, plays DePaul, the number 10 seed, and that's going to be a 9:30. That's the second game in the first round on Wednesday at the Garden. Again, at the top of the call, we had to we're changing our schedule a little bit. At the end, Steve Wojciechowski of Marquette is not available after Kevin Willard, and we will slide Travis Steele of Xavier into that slot. But now we have Kevin Willard on the line from Seton Hall, and Seton Hall, Miles Powell was a All Big East first team pick. And he was a unanimous selection. Kevin, thanks for joining us. If you want to comment on Miles' accomplishments this year, and then we'll get into the matchups.
Yeah, John, thank you. Really proud of Miles. I think it's a well-deserved honor, considering how hard he's worked, since he's gotten here, and has played with such a passion, has played really hard, is really taking the leadership role. When those 4 seniors left last year, you know, he stepped in from a work ethic standpoint to make sure how everybody understands how we work here. And I think, you know, the coaches recognizing how much work he's done and how good he's gotten is a great honor for Miles.
And can you, if you want to give us a comment on the upcoming matchup with Georgetown, the 16th?
Obviously, a really tough matchup. The three freshmen, LeBlanc, Akinju, and McClung, are playing fantastic. Akinju, I think, is as he's progressed throughout the year, has been just so steady, not only on the offensive end, but, you know, really solid and good on the defensive end. And then, obviously, when you have a dominating center like Jesse Govan, who's been doing it inside and out, it's a big challenge for us. So, obviously, excited to be playing Thursday night, but have a big challenge ahead of us.
Questions for Coach Kevin Willard. It's *1 on your telephone.
And we will take a question from Jerry Carino from Gannett, New Jersey.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
When dealing with Govan, as you mentioned, how important will Gil be, and what can you say about his development this season?
Yeah, Roe did a decent job in the first half against him last game, and obviously, you know, putting some muscle on and some length on Jesse always helps. And you know, Roe has developed great. He was really starting to come along. It really was a shame that he got hurt when he did, right in the beginning of the Big East season, because I think he had just really started to kind of get his confidence and kind of feel going, and then it's taken him a little bit of time to kind of get back, but since he's been back, I think he's he gives us a defensive presence and a shot blocker that can, you know, alter shots, and at least it lets guys know that he's down there, that if you drive the lane, you know, you're gonna have to deal with him.
Second question for you, Kevin, about Jared Roden. What do you attribute his startling improvement to, and did you see this coming back in October?
I did. You know, the thing I love about Jared is, you know, Jared, he plays with such great enthusiasm, great such, and so much positivity that I knew once he kind of, you know, he missed all summer. He's a little bit like Miles Kale in the fact that he missed his freshman summer because he had shoulder surgery, and he was way behind the curve as we started the season. But he has such a great work ethic. He has such a great attitude that, you know, it was only a matter of time till he caught up. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he knows, he's a smart kid. He knows, you know, three positions on offense and on the defensive side. It was just a matter of time because he has such a good attitude that, you know, he was going to start playing the way he's been playing.
Thanks, Jeff.
And next we will hear from J.P. Pelzin from Rivals.com.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, J.P.
Hey, I just want to ask you, you and obviously the staff and the players did such a great job last week of coming back from the devastating loss at Georgetown. Is it kind of a different thing now this week? You kind of have to bring them down from the high of what you guys accomplished last week to get them, you know, kind of grounded again?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the most important thing that I've been preaching with these guys is, you know, that continue to get better and improve and just focus on that. And I think we're a basketball team, you know, that's been playing pretty darn good since the Creighton game at home. And, you know, we had a couple tough losses in there, but this group has stayed very positive. They play with a great work ethic, and that's my message this week is, you know, we have a lot of basketball left to play, and let's continue to worry about getting better and just focus on that.
Thanks, Kevin.
And next we will hear from John Steph with Marquette Wires.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So you're one of the few teams that lost the first time around to Marquette, then beat them. What adjustments did you make, and is there anything that you're seeing differently this time around in March as opposed to back in January?
That's a good question. We lost a real close one to them at home. You know, we had the ball up one with a minute to go and then had a shot to win it at the buzzer. Against them. We didn't really change all that much. I think the biggest thing in conference play is, you know, I haven't seen much of change. I just think everyone's kind of figuring everybody out just a little bit more. All these games are so close. It's just coming down to a possession here or there, and that's kind of what's happened. I mean, if you look at all their games lately, it's just, you know, they're in position. It's just coming down to a possession here or there, and really nothing that's changed. They're still a very, very good basketball team, and I think they're going to be dangerous come March.
Thank you.
Anything else for Coach Kevin Willard? Kevin, we'll see you at the Garden in a couple days.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And next up, we have Travis Steele from Xavier. Xavier is playing Creighton. Xavier, the 4 seed, Creighton, the 5 seed. That's the second game of the quarterfinal day on Thursday. First game, Villanova plays the 8-9 winner, and then Creighton against Xavier. Yesterday, we announced that Najee Marshall was All Big East second team. We have Coach Travis Steele on the line. Travis, thanks for joining us on the calls this season. If you could, or if you want to give a comment on Najee, making the second team first, and then speak to the matchup upcoming with Creighton.
Yes, no, number one, really, really happy for Najee. You know, Najee has had a tremendous year for us, man. He's really come on here, especially towards the second half of the Big East season. I think he's a big reason why we've had made the run that we have here late. He's been tremendous on both sides of the ball defensively. And offensively, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. So really happy for him. He's put a lot of work in. You know, as far as the matchup goes, you know, Creighton is obviously one of the hotter teams in our league right now. They've won 5 in a row. Coach McDermott's doing a terrific job with that group. And, you know, defensively, they have gotten so much better. during the Big East season, and I think that's led to some great results for them. Obviously, they're a very, very talented offensive team. They're going to play really fast. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, space the court. But defensively, man, they create a lot of havoc in the half court. It starts to crumple, in my opinion, just with his post defense, his presence around the rim, and then his ball screen defense. So we got to do a great job taking care of the ball, and getting the ball to where we want, and then keeping them out of transition. But we're looking forward to the Thursday's matchup.
Questions for Coach Travis Steele. Hit star 1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And we will take a question from John Mimatawa from the Omaha World Herald.
Yeah, good morning, Travis. So you probably talked about this a lot, but I wonder what were the keys, I guess, to keeping your group mentally in the right space despite losing as many games as you did, and maybe I think maybe some teams might have lost some confidence, but your team obviously rebounded in the right way. What led to that?
You know, I think number one, John, I think it was just the guys that we have in our locker room, man. We have some high character guys. And in fact, I told our guys, even when we were losing, I felt like we were having some good practices. We lost some close games. And it's you know, just believing in what we're doing believing what we're doing is the right thing. And obviously that's what's going to win out. And just focusing on getting better. And you always try to figure out, you know, throughout the year, even with whether you're winning or losing, you're always trying to almost recreate your team, you know, re-energize your team, keep their minds. And I thought that our staff did a really good job with our players, you know, spending a lot of time with those guys off the court. And I think that's where it always starts, you know, just those relationships and talking to them, making sure that their minds are right, you know, before we'd ever practice. And really, really proud of our guys for sticking with it, obviously.
Did you, and I didn't follow it too closely, but did you struggle with the idea of being hard on them, but then also, you know, building them up? I mean, how did you find that right balance between it so you didn't fracture them too much, but you still got after them so that they would, you know, kind of be fired up to practice and play?
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things you can do as a head coach is always to have you gauge the temperature of your team. You know, what do they need? And sometimes it is a little kick in the butt. Sometimes it's a, you know, pat on the back even when things aren't going well. And I think, you know, you just got to understand what those guys are going through because, you know, we always talk with our guys about blocking out the noise, but that doesn't really happen anymore. You know, you got to honestly be able to embrace it and take it head on. You know, but we tried to really just kind of be there mentally for our guys, build our guys up, keep them as confident as we possibly could through that time.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next we will hear from Shannon Russell from The Athletics.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Doing well, Shannon. How you doing?
I'm well. When you look at the two Creighton games earlier this season, which actually twice in three games you played them, a huge difference was Najee. Like, he only took 6 shots at Creighton, scored 6 points, but then when they came to Cintas, he took 22 shots and scored 23 points. What was the difference for him in those two games beyond the obvious? He took more shots.
Yeah, I think it starts with just being aggressive. And I think it starts with him, Shannon, being at the defensive end, being aggressive. And it's funny, it's like I've told Najee, I think it bleeds right over to the other end. You know, when he has that mentality on the defensive end, which I thought he was terrific in game 2 defensively, it just kind of trickles over to him being aggressive on the offensive end, and he needs to be that way for us. And so do some of our other guys. Paul Scruggs does as well. Those guys need to look for their shot and look for their opportunities, you know, because we need those two guys to be able to score for us.
And then as a follow-up, obviously his ankle, you know, kept him out of last game. Do you expect him to return to practice today?
I'm hopeful. You know, he's been still kind of day-to-day. I don't know if he'll go full go today. Or not yet. I haven't had a word from our trainer yet, Dave Fluker, but hopefully we will get some updates here in the next hour or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next we will hear from Adam Baum with Cincinnati Inquirer.
Hey, Travis, how's it going?
Doing well, Adam. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. You know, you talked about Creighton and offensively what they can do, and
was there obviously they didn't have Marcus Zagorowski when they came to Cincinnati, but is there anything that you've learned in these two games that you think, you know, we might be able to do this defensively? Obviously the defense is playing better, but what would you like to see your guys bring that defense to Madison Square Garden?
You know, I think with Creighton, the first thing you think of with their offense is how fast they play, and whether it's after a made field goal or after a miss, you know, we have to eliminate their transition game, and we have to be able to control the tempo. We got to make them run half-court offense. And then obviously, you know, secondly, and I thought we did a pretty good job in game two, is just being there on the catch with high hands, having that urgency, not falling asleep off the ball, because they are constantly in motion. And they do a great job of driving and kicking, going one more, finding the open guy, and being there on the catch with high hands and not falling asleep off the ball is huge. And then I just, you know, they're going to try to space you, you know, on the floor with all their shooters, because a ball screen defense is going to be incredibly important as well. We're going to give them different looks here in this game than even we did in game two. I think, mixing it up between, you know, sometimes switching, sometimes hard-headed, sometimes soft-headed. And I think you can't give Creighton the same look every possession throughout the whole game because they're too good offensively.
Thanks a lot, Coach. See you in New York.
Thank you. See you there.
Do we have any other questions for Coach Travis Steele, please? Looks like we're good, Travis. We'll see you at the Garden in a couple days.
Thank you.
We have a couple of minutes before Coach Patrick Ewing of Georgetown, and I can go through a couple of things for Georgetown. Jesse Govan was named All Big East First Team yesterday, and also three Georgetown players made the All-Freshman Team, and this is only the second time in the history of the Big East that three players from the same school made the All-Freshman Team. And those players, as referred to earlier, are James Akinjo, Josh LeBlanc, and Mac McClung. And that's the first time since, and it's 1987-88, and Pitt was the school, and the players were Sean Miller, Bobby Martin, and Jason Matthews. So that would have been obviously those guys' freshman year. And so that's the only time in Big East history that that three players from the same school have made the All-Freshman Team. And Georgetown is 9-9, and they were going to play Seton Hall, and they were part of that four-way 9-9 tie for third place. Seton Hall comes on top of that, and Georgetown on the bottom of that. So Georgetown at 9-9 and 19-12 overall. That's what the Hoyas record is coming into the tournament. And 3-6, that's the last game of the night on Thursday. We're going out to see whether we can get Coach Ewing a minute or two early. And again, we are, after Coach Patrick Ewing, we're going to have Coach Jay Wright, as we had to juggle the schedule a little bit today. So we appreciate your patience. And the two teams, as referenced on one of the questions earlier, just met on March 2. Down at Georgetown. Georgetown won the game in double overtime, 77-71. And then Seton Hall won the game at the Prudential Center. That was 90-75.
I guess Mojo went short on that.
Sounds like we have Coach Patrick Ewing on the line. And, Coach, thanks for joining us on the call, our last call of the season. And announced yesterday, Jesse Govan made the All-Big East first team. And then we announced on the all-freshman team, James Akinjo, Josh LeBlanc, Mac McClung. And we announced that that's only the second time in Big East history that three players from the same school have made the all-freshman team. So if you want to comment on some of the award winners, and then we'll get into questions.
Excuse me. Just want to say I'm very proud of my guys. They, you know, the freshmen did an outstanding job this year. They've grown significantly from excuse me, from the beginning of the year till now. Jesse is, you know, he's been here for 4 years and, you know, he's continuing to get better. You know, I'm very proud of his, you know, him being selected the first team. He's had a great year. And we need for all of them to continue if we want to do well in the Big East.
Let's go to questions for Coach Patrick Ewing. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And we will take a question from Jerry Polino in Gannett, New Jersey.
Patrick, you've faced Miles Powell twice now. What do you think of him as a player, and how do you even go about trying to defend him?
Excuse me. He's a great player. You know, you got to throw a lot of different bodies at him. You know, he's capable of shooting the ball from deep NBA range and deeper. He can get to the basket. He showed in our last outing that he's a willing passer when you send two at him. You know, he's had a fantastic year for them. Excuse me.
Jerry, you have a follow-up?
Yeah, just is any player he reminds you of, Patrick, collegiately, pros, anybody you come across in the style strikes a chord?
No, not really, but he's just, I mean, he's magnificent. He's, you know, from last year to this year, he's improved dramatically. But no, I can't compare him to anyone, really.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And, okay. Any more questions for Coach Patrick Ewing? Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And we'll take our next question from John Steph with Marquette Wires.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So you've played Marquette twice, lost the first one, won this last one on Saturday. What are you seeing differently that they're doing? Is there any difference between January and March?
No, I mean, they're still a very good team. They're, you know, both them and Villanova are the two class of the Big East. In the first game we played them, we had opportunities to win the ball game. We just didn't, you know, close it at the end. And this game, you know, it was a war. It was all out war. Both teams played pretty good, played pretty well. We were fortunate enough to come away with the win.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And next we will take a question from Ben Standig with NBC Sports Washington.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for your time. Just curious with regards to Jesse. Obviously, you're coaching all your players, but, you know, with your background as a center and his position, I'm sure there's part of you that kind of pays attention to him and maybe even ponders in your head if you were going up against him, what you would or wouldn't do. How has that relationship developed, knowing, you know, center to center? How has that developed over your 2 years with Georgetown? And what did you see particularly with his progress as he moves forward in his career?
You know, I did play the position. I understand, you know, what it takes to play the position. I know the center position is a dependent position. Jesse is a lot different than I am. You know, his ability to step out and shoot the three ball, separates us. But, you know, I think that, you know, he has improved in terms of his, you know, he's trying a lot harder on defense this year compared to last year. He's trying to rebound a lot better. But, you know, he's had some huge gains for us, not only this year, but also last year. I think this year he's picked up his play significantly in the Big East. He started out the year last year great, then when the Big East came around, he dipped. But this year he continues to play hard and play well, and we're going to need that out of him. We need he's had a couple of bad games of late, but we're going to need him to bring his A game, especially going into the Big East tournament, in order for us to make a run for the NCAAs.
And Patrick, just if I could, a quick follow-up. You mentioned that you and Jesse have different games, and that's sort of in line with how things are going in basketball in general. Have you ever given any thought to, if you were playing in today's college basketball going towards the NBA, how things might be different for you or how your game would translate?
I think my game is my game. I was a great player, and I think I'd still be a great player. I was always able to shoot. I just didn't shoot as deep as a lot of guys in this generation. But I think I'd still be a dominant player.
Anything else, Ben, there?
I have other questions, but I don't want to monopolize everybody's time here.
well, you could sneak in one more. You could sneak in one more.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess just at this point, you know, the regular season's over, and now you're moving into the postseason. From what's the biggest, I guess, difference you see with this team from your expectations coming into the season, and what's, I guess, the number one key for you in the tournament?
Well, our goal has always been to, do well in the Big East regular season, do well in the Big East tournament, and make the NCAAs and see how far we can go. As everybody knows, once the NCAA tournament starts, if you're fortunate enough to make it, anything is possible. You can go on a run. It's on, you know, it's not like it's the NBA where you have to play the best out of seven. You know, it takes one game. If you go on a run at the right time, you can go all the way to the Final Four or to the championship. So our goal is to, improve every year and, hopefully get to the championship very soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Patrick, we appreciate your time as always. We'll see you at the Garden in a couple of days. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Thank you. And I should say before we get to Coach Jay Wright that we announced our Big East Defensive Player of the Year today, Justin Simon. Patrick Ewing is the only player in Big East history to win Big East Defensive Player of the Year four times. So we are dialing out for Coach Jay right now. So hang with us for just a second, please. For Villanova, Phil Booth and Eric Paschal were unanimous members of the All Big East first team, that we announced that yesterday, and Sadiq Bey made the Big East All Freshman team. And Villanova is 13-5 in the league, finished 13-5 in the league, 22-9 overall, and they are the number one seed in the tournament. We'll play the winner of Butler and Providence. And that game will, the Villanova game will be at noon on the quarterfinal day. Hang with us for just a second. We're hanging on for Coach Jay Wright of Villanova. Villanova was the only team this year to go 9-0 at home, 4-5 on the road. And last game was the game at Seton Hall, and Seton Hall came away with a 79-75 win. Villanova's won 5 out of the last 6 Big East regular season titles outright. The last year they were the number 2 seed, winning the tournament when Xavier was the top seed. Well, we appreciate you hanging with us here. And hang with us. We appreciate it. We have Coach Jay Wright on the line now from Villanova. And as we announced earlier, Phil Booth, Eric Paschal, yesterday named, they were unanimous picks to the All-Big East first team. Sadiq Bey made the Big East All-Freshman team. Jay, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to give us a comment or two on your award winners, and then we'll open it up for questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. Sorry I'm late, man. Yeah, I'm really proud of our guys. Sadiq Bey really had a great freshman year and was, man, we really needed him and was really consistent in all ways and defensively rebounding and efficient offensively. So really proud of him, and we needed him to step up this year. And Phil and Eric, I couldn't be more proud of, just great leaders. They had a really difficult task in our program this year. It was a lot of new guys, not just leading them, but being patient with them and teaching them and working with our young coaching staff. You know, over the last 2 years, we lost our 2 top assistants, so those 2 were even more experienced than some of our coaches, and they just did an amazing job. I'm so proud of them. We're gonna miss both of them dearly.
Questions for Coach Jay Wright. It's *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And we will take a question from Ben Standig with NBC Sports Washington.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for your time. Have sort of a broader league question rather than about you guys. Eric Paschal is obviously one of the best players in the league and a guy that people project going towards the next level, and guys like Jesse Govan and Pons as well. Just curious about those 3 guys, your thoughts on them in terms of sort of being the stars of the league this year and how you see them projecting going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think each one of them's got an opportunity to play in the NBA, and each is differently. I think, Pons, Shamar can be a poor man's version of Allen Iverson, you know, just so dynamic and creative, and as much of a scorer as he can be. He can really get teammate shots. Really difficult to guard, but I do think he has a future in the NBA. And Jesse Govan is going to be really interesting because he's got great length, and he's really skilled, you know, and many of the big guys now are going to, you know, have to shoot 3s and pass the ball and put it on the floor and mid-range, and he's got it all. He's probably at the next level more, you know, it might fit the next level better than college because, you know, they like guys with length like that that can protect the rim and still shoot the ball. And then I think Eric's got a chance maybe to be a better pro than he is a college player. You know, he's done a lot of the dirty work for the last few years. And then this year when it's kind of his turn, he's played with a lot of younger guys and teams have really loaded up on him. He can guard any position. He can score from all 3 levels. And he's really becoming a good decision maker and passer too. His assist to turnover ratio is positive and he's really getting better at that. So I really think he's got a better chance to be, maybe even have a better pro career than college.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We will take our next question from Ben Steele with Milwaukee General Sentinel.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing today?
Great.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Marquette ending the regular season on a 4-game losing streak, and you guys hit a little bit of a rough patch in February, too, and I was just wondering how, as coaches, you try to navigate that and not let the spiral continue.
Yeah, it is tough, and a lot of times it's just a matter of the schedule. You know, you get and this can happen in our league because there's no easy nights. You know, you look at our conference, and every team has a winning record overall. I think it's the only conference in the country that has that. And every, you know, the team with the least amount of wins, I think, has six. So it's just a unique conference where, you know, I think they played at Villanova. They had a hot Creighton team coming in. Then they went at Seton Hall, you know, where we just lost. And then a real dynamic Georgetown team that beat us also. So it just sometimes it's just the schedule, and you have to convince your guys of that, you know. It's not that you're not playing well, just that, you know, you ran into some hot teams. You got to keep getting better and just look at it one game at a time.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Any other questions for Coach Jay Wright? Jay, looks like we're good. Thanks, as always, during the season. We'll see you at the Garden in a couple days.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on today's call. I'm sure we'll see most of you at the Garden, and appreciate your participation today and throughout the season. Thank you.
And this concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.